Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app. And you can catch us on the TV side on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. EB is out in Outer Banks this week. Mm-hmm. He's out from work, down in the Outer Banks.
That's true. Right. Just wanted to get your direction.
Yeah, I know. You're a prepositional Nazi.
I mean, he can't be out in the Outer Banks.
He's out this week from work.
He's already out.
He's out of the office. He's out of the office down in Corolla Beach.
Right. Correct.
Yes. So we're running the three-man show. I'm JP along with Cakes and Bish Bucks. Time now to hit the skins.
Yep. Training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenry'sWindows.com is where you find them online. Your clear home improvement choice. All right, we're going to start with some audio from longtime NFL personnel guru Scott Pioli, who was at Commanders training camp in Ashburn. Pioli, for those that don't know, had long runs in both the Patriots and Chiefs front office. And here's him commenting on Commanders rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels.
Oh, Scott, beautiful day out here at Commanders Park. First day with fans. You could really feel that energy. They're going to get in pads on Monday. But let's get right to it. Jaden Daniels, the rookie quarterback. We saw him rotate in sometimes, mostly with the twos behind Marcus Mariota, but sometimes with the one personnel. Just your thoughts on what you saw out of him.
You know, I think we saw some good and we saw some not so good. I don't think we saw any bad.
Right.
You know, we saw there was a little bit of a center quarterback exchange issue when he had to go under at the first snap, as we saw. But, you know, again, to me, I think when we evaluate young quarterbacks, we used to have the saying, hey, just get the guys in the huddle, get the play called, get the guys out of the huddle, and get the snap off. And that, it seems like such a simple thing, but quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, being able to learn how to make sure that there aren't any pre-snap issues, that's a big thing. So I saw some good things out of Jaden. You can see the guys responding to him as well, right?
Right, and we've heard that, you know, he's checked at line of scrimmage. He's checked into some situations to really take advantage of the defense. We also saw him under center, in the pistol, in shotgun, on the move, doing dropbacks. So they're really putting him through it. But again, Marcus Mariota, for now, is taking the majority of the number one snaps.
I don't love the fact that they're telling us that Marcus Mariota is taking the majority of the number one snaps. Like
that's day one he's talking.
Okay, but
the Mariota thing, he's not going to start. Jaden Daniels is going to be a starter. I know the crowd was going nuts.
Kind of easing him in.
Yeah, the crowd was going nuts when he ran a little read option. Did you see that play, how fast he is?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason he was drafted number two overall.
He's blazing.
It's because they know that they're going to lean on that rushing skill set.
And the guy, I know from just looking at the viral clips, the guy can throw into the net fantastically.
He certainly can do
that. He seems to have great net accuracy.
You know, Valdez has a theory about that. I don't know if it's a theory.
It's just an observation of mine.
Let me hear your observation.
It's just finding like a miss, right? A Jaden Daniels miss. Yeah. It's like finding Bigfoot. It's like finding Loch Ness.
Right.
And it's a disservice to Jaden because it's unrealistic expectations. Like the J.P. Finleys and Scott Abrahams of the world, they're just posting video of hit after hit after hit in the net.
Right.
I don't know. It's like heroin to Commanders fans. But
people love that net shot.
They do, and it's nonstop. But they never show like a miss. Yeah. And I'm sure there are misses. Yeah. I'm sure there's Daniel Jones misses out there.
But for whatever reason,
they seem to just vanish.
I'd be okay, by the way, with seeing some inaccuracy.
Can't the fans handle it? I'm pretty sure they can handle it, but it's just setting unrealistic expectations. I feel like.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's just an observation of mine. If you can find, it's almost like a reward, like a bounty. You find a Jaden Daniels miss on the internet from a beat reporter or the Commanders account itself, You should get a reward.
Yeah, not just somebody that was there.
I would agree based on what we've seen that's all you're seeing. But now that they're going to go full pads and he's going to be going against, you know, we assume he's going to be going against the ones pretty soon. I got to think they're going to show some interceptions.
No, no.
I got to think they're going to.
At least the Commander's account won't.
The Commander's account won't, no. But I think you'll see it on some of the local media.
Yeah, like if he throws a bad pick
to Emmanuel
Forbes and J.P. Finley or Mitch Tischler or whoever has it on video, they're going to show that.
Yeah, I think they will.
They're not just going to bury that and say,
but right
this,
now,
this, hey, to be honest, I don't know because I haven't seen anything bad.
I'm going to guess
this point,
those guys are
at this
show
point,
up.
Jaden Daniels is a perfect quarterback.
I've read a few accounts.
Well, you heard Pioli say it.
Yeah, say that he's had misses.
No. He said it was an exchange.
Well, no, he didn't say
that's
a,
not
yeah,
necessarily
he didn't say a pass.
A,
yeah.
He's had some good and had some bad, and then he said the bad was the center exchange. Right now, Jaden Daniels has a perfect arm.
Right, he's 100%.
He's 100%.
Yeah, he hasn't thrown one incompletion.
It doesn't exist.
But I do think you're going to see it if he does throw some picks.
Right,
they're not going to show incompletions. They'll show a pick though. So, but I agree with you. As of now,
every throw that's been documented from Jaden in camp has been amazing. That's basically what I've read, what I've seen.
Well, look,
and I'm not trying to put him down. I'm just saying it's just an observation. That's something I've noticed. We're all interested.
Yeah,
to see
I wonder
how
if they're saying the same things about the other rookie quarterbacks in other markets.
I'm looking at Nikki Javala's Twitter right now. Here it says, Jaden Daniels picked off by Michael Davis in first team period. First interception to camp. I mean, you see some. But I agree, they do seem to glorify the net shot.
No, but his point is you got to see it.
Yeah, you don't see it.
Yeah.
I have to rely on Nikki's tweet.
You know what?
I'm just saying
he's fighting against censorship, Valdez.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's quarterback censorship.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just a Commander's thing or if it's an NFL thing, if teams are just trying to protect their draft picks or quarterbacks
I'm wondering if the team prevents cameras for the entire practice. So maybe you couldn't see that.
Possible.
I know they do work on the other field,
yeah,
and it's almost impossible to get video over there.
Yeah, so
I mean, you can see,
away.
So, like, here's a bad pass from Jaden Daniels, and actually, it's the Commanders posting it. They're posting it as a great snag by, who's number 82? Is that Sinet? Sinet?
Yeah,
I'm not sure it is.
I think
where Jaden Daniels is rolling left, throwing to his right.
And
it's not a good pass.
Sinet grabs it with one arm.
It's a complete
and corrals it.
It is, but it's not a good pass.
No, it's not a good pass. You're right.
A complete pass.
But also, to give him
credit.
I know,
credit, but, too, it's a horrible pass.
It's
a great catch.
He's scrambling away from pressure, and sometimes you're not going to always deliver that ball when you're on the run.
Yeah.
Perfectly
right, it's against his
hands.
Body.
Right. So he got it where he gave his receiver a chance and sent him a good play.
I think there's something to what Valdez is saying, though, and it's not just here, because I know a very similar play that I saw that went viral was Caleb Williams rolling to his left, throwing against his body, and throwing a perfect pass. And the caption was like, there's only one or two quarterbacks who can do this.
Right.
Which might be true. I mean, we'll see. See what happens with Caleb Williams.
Yeah, well.
When's the Hall of Fame game? We're going to see Caleb Williams and the Texans. That's the first game out of the chute.
Isn't that this weekend?
It's Thursday.
Thursday night.
Yeah.
Thursday.
So I doubt you'll see Caleb. I doubt any.
You don't think you're going to see Caleb Williams for at least a few series?
No.
I would think you're going to see him. Why are you going to hide the guy? He's going to be your starter week one. I think you're going to see him for at least a couple series. You don't think so? All right.
The Tyson Bagent show.
Says they haven't decided.
I don't want to watch that show.
At least as of a couple days ago, they hadn't decided whether he'll play.
Hmm.
Matt Eberflus said they would decide soon.
Right. Well, he better start soon because Thursday's right around the corner. Because last time I checked, it's Monday.
Yeah.
And it's not that far till the Hall
of Fame.
That's
what he said. He said, we talked about it, had lengthy conversations about it during the personnel meeting. Had it with the coordinators before that. So he said, we'll make a good decision soon. So we'll see when that is.
Let's touch on a few takeaways from Commander's camp. These are from Brian Manning from USA Today. One of his headlines is Brandon Coleman will start somewhere. He says the rookie offensive tackle is taking first team reps at left and right tackle. Right tackle Andrew Wiley is reportedly dealing with some, quote, tightness and should return to the field this week. So he's thinking that, and I think most people think, with Coleman being drafted so high, he's going to get meaningful playing time, if not as a starter, at one of the tackle spots.
Yeah.
It's definitely an area of concern, the offensive line. And what I'm seeing from the people who are at camp every day is it's been inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a team weakness for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and which kind of scares you if it is, because you got a rookie quarterback back there.
Yeah.
But that rookie quarterback can scramble and he can run out of some trouble. But look, Coleman has accolades, man. He was a really good college player. They drafted him in the third round. He's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not he's going to start, we'll see. But eventually he is going to start. You draft a guy in the third round, that's probably a starter in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
So, but he is going to be in the rotation.
One of the other observations, Emmanuel Forbes looks different. He's gained 17 pounds this offseason. The new coaching staff challenged Forbes to add weight in the offseason. He rose to that challenge. He's added the weight and doesn't look any less quick. He's playing with confidence, and he's won his share of reps against Terry McLaurin. So that's good news that he's added 17 pounds to that frail frame that he came into the league with. And people thought when he was drafted that that was something he was definitely going to need to work on, and he has.
I put the side-by-side on our Junkies Facebook page, facebook.com/thejunks. And it is night and day. I mean, that picture that went viral over the summer, I guess, from his camp, where he's with like a regular donk who looked more like a football player than him.
He was like with a high school football player.
Right.
You're like, which guy's the NFL player here? Mm-hmm. And it didn't look like Emmanuel Forbes.
It was disturbing. So it's good that he's put on some weight and supposedly hasn't lost any speed.
Yeah.
And
do we know if he's on the first unit right now, or is he on the second?
Forbes?
Yeah.
It sounds like he's running with the ones.
Is he running with the ones? Okay. Because they brought
I think
Davis.
He was going back and forth against like Terry McLaurin in some of the drills.
Okay.
One other quick observation.
They need him to be a one.
Well, they brought in the guy from the Chargers, who's a veteran, but
sure.
and he's bigger physically, but he's not as fast.
We'll talk more about this, too, with Sam Fortier, because he tweeted something along the same lines here. This guy's observation, Brian Manning, Ramiz Ahmed will not be the kicker, because he's doinked it off the goalpost in back-to-back practices. So the whole Brandon McManus thing, and then going to sign the dude from the UFL, might not be working out.
Ooh.
Like, I'm guessing
they might be in the
I'm
market
guessing
again.
That Adam Peters is going to be scouring the cuts and who's available over the next few weeks to add to the kicking competition, because it doesn't sound like it's going great with Ahmed.
Yeah, but if you're scouring the cuts, then you're bringing in another number.
But maybe he's
probably
better than the number that you have. He's like a few steps above the number you have in camp currently.
Possibly.
I mean,
so
we'll
have to monitor that
situation.
Talk
about bad luck, because they brought in McManus thinking he's going to be the guy maybe for the next 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Because he's a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
He's been reliable with all the teams he's played with. And then this was a possible sexual assault.
Yes, correct.
Comes down and they let him go. And now they're in the market again. It sounds like you said, that this guy's not working out.
Meanwhile, the guy that Ron couldn't wait to get rid of, Dustin Hopkins, just signed a long extension in Cleveland.
Oh, he got big money, too.
He got a nice deal, too.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Ron.
Well, they're ex-Commanders kickers all around the place. Yeah. Graham Gano's been going at it for
job
a while.
Job well done, Ron. The legacy of Ron continues to haunt the franchise. Meanwhile, he's looking at the starter times out at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, but maybe
you'll probably run into Ron later this week.
Maybe Emmanuel Forbes will be good.
Maybe he will.
But yeah, his resume as a drafter, it's pretty terrible.
It's very checkered.
Could have drafted Tua.
Yeah. Could have drafted Justin Herbert. Yeah. Could have drafted him too. Could have drafted Christian Darrisaw, who just got a long extension with Minnesota.
Yep.
Instead of, I believe, Jamin Davis.
They made some critical mistakes. But the kicking situation, like you said, that could be an issue.
Yeah. I'm guessing Peters is going to be scanning all the camps to see what's doing with kickers.
If you want to chime in, you can always call us on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines at 800-636-1067. Oh, I got scoreboard this year at Atlantis, by the way.
How so?
So we went 2 years ago, and look, I don't care. But I remember my son mentioning it. you know, we have a public job.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Right?
So we are very minor league celebrities.
Yeah, the minorest of leagues, yes.
And my oldest, Kelsey, is a minor league celebrity being a TikToker.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time we were at the Atlantis, she got spotted by three different people.
Okay.
Or three different groups of people and took like pictures with them.
Yeah.
And I had one guy on the beach who was a Junkies listener.
That's crazy.
But this time, now, I didn't take any pictures, but Kelsey got stopped by one girl. She was like a teenage girl who was like, oh my God, are you the girl from TikTok?
Mm-hmm.
And she took a picture with her. But I believe three or maybe four groups of Junkies listeners, you know, just said hello.
Very good. Look at that.
Said, what's up?
Love to hear that.
Now, one of them I feel like was kind of a cheat in that the guy was on the plane with his family and he recognized me from the plane. And a lot of people who go to the Bahamas.
Sure.
You know, you're taking a plane from Dulles.
Yeah.
You're landing in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
You're at, he was in the same coral tower as us. But a couple other randos. I got scoreboard on my daughter.
Very good.
So that was cool.
Nicely done.
Drab gave us this article, which, hey, I think this is a brilliant article.
Mm-hmm.
it's actually supposedly marriage advice on how a couple said that they became closer. And it's with a household task that they would do each night.
Okay.
They were downsizing. All right.
Yeah.
So I want to say they were married for 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the task, which brought them closer together, is they decided to declutter.
Ah, okay.
And the goal was every night to throw away just one bag of trash.
Right.
Okay.
To go through your household mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
And get rid of one bag.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I could do that. I don't know if that's going to bring me closer to my wife. Like, maybe. For this couple, it was cathartic and a good thing to do as they're trying to downsize.
I am all about decluttering.
Sure.
There's so much, especially the garage.
Yeah.
Do you know that I've owned this house for, Travi, this is no lie. I'm not being facetious or exaggerating.
All right.
I've owned my house for 19 years.
Okay. Well, much equity.
I have not once parked a car in the garage in 19 years.
That's quite a
You
run.
Do the math on how
and
many
And you have
days
a two-car garage.
Two-car garage, you're spacious.
You're the Cal Ripken of cluttered garages. Why would you break the streak now?
I'm not.
Yeah.
And I can't because we've acquired so many things.
Keep the streak alive.
And there's so much crap in there.
Yeah.
But not all crap. I mean,
I don't think it's entirely uncommon to not park your car in
my
the
wife
garage.
Does a lot of work in the garage
yeah.
because you know, that's what she
it's,
does
that's
for
like
a little
her
side
office.
Business.
Mm-hmm.
It's like her office.
Yeah.
She gets in there and she refinishes stuff, paints stuff, especially in the summer months. She doesn't want to do it out in the driveway. But I have not once parked a car in my garage in 19 years.
I don't think it's entirely uncommon. Right now, we don't park a car in the garage because there was a big net that was here for months that I think was gifted to the guys from Bit Season.
Okay.
And
like a golf net or something?
Yes. Okay. And Valdez was going to take it, but I guess he didn't have space for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And eventually I was like, you know what? I'm trying to play a little more golf. Let me take it. I don't know that I've hit 10 golf balls into this net, but it's huge. It takes up half of our garage.
You're going to throw it away soon. Like now that it's top of mind, you realize you haven't used it. You're going to look at it and say, Why am I still
Last year,
this?
My wife was taking lessons, so in theory, we were going to hit balls into it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's being utilized.
No, it's utilized to, I have all my soccer coaching gear on one side of the net. The other side of the net has some things.
Sure.
So I don't know that, do you park cars in the garage?
Do not. Not currently, but I have in the past parked cars in my garage.
Yes. We did on one side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's a two-car garage, like, there was one car getting in amongst
right.
all the stuff. But I know what you mean. Like, as far as, like, not having space to park your car right now, couldn't happen.
Matt, so I think I told you this weeks ago, but I was in the market for a bigger television.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because
who isn't?
and my buddy Raj, who owns an audio video company.
Okay.
All right. He always offers me some of his hand-me-downs.
Okay.
And when I say hand-me-downs, they're a couple years right. old.
Gently used TVs.
Yeah, I mean, they're really, the one I have in my bedroom
yeah.
is a TV from Raj.
Okay.
So
how much did you pay for it?
That particular TV, I don't know, it was probably like $300.
Sounds like
$400
like
maybe.
A good deal.
Yeah. So he texted me, says, And that TV in my bedroom is 65 inches.
Okay.
And it's very big.
It's sure. big for a bedroom TV.
It's big. But and he texted me.
You're TV shaming me. Mine is 46 inches.
Well, I am shaming you a little bit. But it,
by a lot.
But our bedroom is pretty big, so yeah. it fits perfectly. Mm-hmm. And he texted me a few weeks ago and said, hey, I got a new TV, and I'm getting rid of my
100 inches.
It's 85 inches.
Oh, that's bigger than the window I'm looking at Matt and Mike through.
Look, this right. is it. It's, so it's kind of hard to tell how big it is based
that's
on this
heaven.
Picture. But he goes, $300.
It's
a 2 year old. It's a 2 year old Samsung.
Yeah,
I said
sold.
Yeah. So I went over. My wife and I went over to his house. He wasn't even there. He was at the beach. He let me in the house with the ring and his remote, and we put it in her truck and we drove it back to the house. Now it's in the garage.
Okay,
it's I couldn't believe how big it is. I mean, I've seen 85 inches.
So it's just sitting in your garage
in restaurants and in bars, right? But you really don't know how big it is until you see it up close and it's right in front of you. Oh, I don't know where to put it.
Are you going
to
have somebody
put Why is it still sitting in the garage, though? You didn't because have a spot in your mind that you were going to replace a TV?
Well, we just picked it up on Friday.
Okay.
So it's only been there a couple days.
Do you need Mo to come over to mount it for you?
I don't know where to mount it or just it's on its stands.
He needs somebody to do it because he can't do it.
I can't mount it on the wall. It's going to take like three
I've
people.
Forgotten. What's the deal with the number that you have in your porch?
Yeah,
like your back porch.
It's a little nubby.
No, but don't you do something wacky like that one doesn't have cable and the rest of it has cable.
No, the cable is just we line the cable, run the cable from that TV to my main box in the living room.
Okay.
But it's not a smart TV.
Oh, you still have a dumb TV
It's
in
a
your
dumb
house?
TV out there.
I didn't know it still existed.
But and I can't put the 85-incher out there. It's too big.
No.
But I was going to put the 85-incher in my bedroom.
Yeah.
But it'll still be too big.
That's way too big for a bedroom.
It's too big. Yeah, too big. I agree.
Where do you watch the most TV?
We're going to probably put
How
it
big
in
is the basement TV.
My daughter's moving out in September.
Okay.
She's moving to, shocker, she's going to Arlington.
Okay.
Right. And that's where every 23-year-old girl wants to go.
Yeah, because rent's so cheap.
So cheap. And so she's moved. So I'll probably give her my current TV, which is on the wall in my living room. And it's a 65-incher. It's a little tiny for that room.
Well, then it's perfect.
Do you ever
so I think I'm
going
to put the 85-incher on that wall or on the stand on the, we have a big dresser there.
Yeah, there you have it.
But
do you ever sit in that room?
Yeah, all the time.
The living room, or is it your family?
It's off the kitchen.
Okay, that's like, I would call that
the family room.
Because the living room is usually the one that you never use, which you like walk into a house.
Yeah, man. I use the wrong term. But so that's probably where we're. Right now, it's in the garage.
Right.
And it's taking up a lot of space. But that's going
to
be the new
team. Commander's Bucks over at your garage in week one.
Hey, you better tell Teresa to be careful. You don't need, like, lacquer or or paint thinner
or if she's
on the screen.
If she's swinging a hammer and inadvertently hits your new TV.
Yeah. You can put a crack in it.
Correct.
On the screen.
Correct. She's going to be very careful.
Stain,
but
you'll
eventually
get stain on the screen.
But eventually, I got to get that TV off the wall and then put the new TV in the family room.
Do you know anything about the specs of the TV? Is it like a UHD? I don't even know what the latest and greatest is. UHD TV,
QLED.
LED. I don't even know what you're looking for in 2024.
It's a Samsung silly.
But it's definitely a smart TV.
Of course. It's an 85-incher. It's huge. It's 2 years old. It's perfect. And I got a great deal on it. $300.
You got
how much would that
deal.
TV be in a store, in a Best Buy?
Probably at least
about the same.
$600.
Cheap.
$500 or $600.
No chance it'd be $300.
No, probably $600. $6 or $7.
Yeah. So
TVs are butt cheap.
But now I just got to figure out where I'm going to put it.
Some TVs are butt expensive. If you get a silly, the QLED or the OLED, the blackest of the blacks.
Yeah.
They're going to cost you a couple $1,000s.
Dude, that's true. There's some for $2,500.
Yeah, I'm looking at the cheapest one. The cheapest Samsung one is like $1,200.
Yeah.
I bought a 65-inch OLED or whatever. It was like $2,500 a couple years ago. It's all right. Bodie came over to my house a couple weeks ago and was like, what's up with your color on your TV? It's all off. I almost kicked him out of my house. I had never noticed it before.
Get out.
The snob comes over and points out a couple pixels that were off. Yeah.
Jason, once you get it up and running, it's going to change your life. I got an 87-inch TV 2 years ago, and I have it at my house in Arlington,
mm-hmm.
and it just makes fight nights, parties. It just changes the vibe completely.
How bitter would you be if your daughter went to Mike Mars'
party? I can't believe you got an 87-inch.
What?
It's the best thing I've ever bought.
It's like that meme of the Bugatti in the driveway of the trailer. Yeah. Why does his rat's nest boy's house have an 87-inch TV?
Yeah, I mean,
that's a great
and right next
it takes
to
up the entire house.
To the left of the 87-inch is a 55-inch Samsung.
Man, what are you guys doing? You guys running a sports bar at your house?
Legit. Well, it's got 20
it's
roommates.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
It's like a glory days in there.
Now, you can get a brand new 75-incher for $600. Samsung. Got to be looking at prices.
Yeah, but this is 10 inches bigger. It's a big ass TV.
Let me ask you, what if you had to declutter that garage?
Mm-hmm.
Now your wife is working stuff. What are some things that are in there that you just never use?
I mean, we have a shoe rack. Look, when you have when you have two daughters who are in their 20s,
okay, you need shoe racks.
Okay, but there's shoes that they never wear, and they love to just acquire new shoes,
right?
So they always buy new shoes. We have a shoe rack where we probably could cut, I don't know, 50% of it.
Well, that's when you just take a trash bag out and just donate them.
Well, we just donate them.
Just tell your daughters, whatever you're not wearing anymore, throw them in this bag, and we'll donate them.
Yeah.
Tax write-off.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what you
should
do.
That's the main thing. On the left side of our garage, we just have this big shoe rack, and it goes pretty much the entire length of the wall.
Right.
And it's filled with shoes that the girls never wear.
Right.
We have things that can kind of get used, but in excess. Now, my wife has a lot of fitness equipment. So we have plyometric boxes, which take up space, but they haven't been used in probably years.
Right.
Hula hoops.
Hula hoops.
Now, 7-year-olds will use hula hoops time to time.
Infrequently, I would guess.
But I think we have 3 or 4 hula hoops.
You could throw the 3 away and have 1 left, and nobody's going to be
any the wiser. Yeah, but if friends come over, then they want to do hula hoop together.
They can share. Then one can hula hoop and wait for the other one and for it to drop to the ground in 2 seconds, and then the other one can pick it up. Instead of having 4 hula hoops. Right?
Probably right.
I don't need 4 hula hoops.
Know what else? This was just brought from my mom's house, which has now moved over to this house. TV dinner trays. I feel like nobody uses those
anymore. Oh, you don't need those.
I feel like that's an old model. Who does TV dinner trays?
Nobody.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, we'll get back into the Commanders. Sam Fortier writes for the Washington Post, covers Commanders. He's been out at training camp. We could ask him about the kicking situation and war next here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. Later in the program, 9:45, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to go see HF Festival at Nationals Park.
Mm.
That includes bands such as Incubus, Bush, Garbage, Jimmy Eat World, and more. So that's coming up at 9:45, but we wanted to talk some Commanders training camp. They're 4 days in, right? 4 days in. Today would be day 5.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Sam Fortier covers the Commanders for the Washington Post, and he joins us now. What's up, Sam?
Doing well. Headed out to Ashburn right now. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Ashburn was buzzing yesterday, right, when they let the fans in?
I couldn't believe the line going from the gate all the way out to Loudoun County Parkway, Sam.
Yeah, it was pretty unbelievable, guys. It was a lot smaller than last year just because of the way that, you know, the camp is set up this year. They had, like, 10,000 last year. They had nearly 3,000 yesterday, but it still was a pretty impressive crowd and obviously a sign that, you know, Jaden Daniels went down almost the entire line of fans to sign autographs, and there were a lot of Daniels jerseys out there. So definitely, you know, that optimism and buzz is definitely happening around camp.
Mm.
We were having a discussion earlier that if you just kind of monitor social media, everything is rosy with Jaden Daniels. Is there anything negative that you're seeing? Because it all seems positive. You see perfect throws into the net. You see, you know, bombs.
Yeah, is he making
mistakes?
It's like
he's perfect.
He's a rookie quarterback. Is he making rookie mistakes?
I will say, guys, he is really impressive for a rookie quarterback. I mean, he's making not just like with the athleticism or the throws, which you can't entirely see because pads aren't coming on until today, But he's changing protections. He's like sliding the line to pick up, you know, like when the nickel corner blitzes. He's doing impressive things like that. But I will say that some of the videos, I think, on Twitter are a little bit overplayed. Like, you know, like these aggregator accounts are throwing up, you know, he hits the net one time and it's like, you know, dart emoji, dart emoji, dart emoji. And if you go out there, like, he's hitting the net one of four times, you know, just about the same rate, if not a little better than his teammates or, you know, all three other quarterbacks. But it's not like he's hitting the net every single time, which I think that if you were just looking at Twitter, you might think that's true.
What about the breakdown of reps right now between Jaden Daniels and Marcus Mariota? I'm a little concerned over the amount of reps that Mariota's getting, personally.
Wait. You're worried about how impressive Mariota looks?
No, I'm worried about the number of reps.
No, because
Cakes doesn't want him to touch the ball.
Because he doesn't look impressive.
We heard that Mariota was running with the ones more than JD.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. It's split pretty evenly right now. But Mariota is definitely getting reps with the ones and, you know, in two-minute drill, things like that, you know, 11-on-11. So, I mean, certainly, how do I say this, an approach that Dan Quinn's staff is taking. They don't think that splitting the reps is going to be hurtful to Jaden's development. Terry McLaurin and right tackle Andrew Wiley both told me that they don't think it'll be that bad for him either. But obviously, you know, the question, guys, is how long does this persist? Are we talking about, is this going to be through joint practice? Is it going to be through the first preseason game? I would imagine not, because you want Jaden to get every first team rep that you can, because it's obvious he's going to be the starter. It's not even just like, oh, we picked this kid number two. He's just clearly the better quarterback out there right now. And so I'm very curious to see how long they're going to split these reps as well.
Sam, I think the only real glaring mistake I've seen Jaden make on a daily basis is he's walking out to the practice field with that dreamboat Sam Hartman every day. With his flowing long hair, and he's just getting handsome shamed by Sam Hartman every day. That's the only real mistake that I can tell Jaden's making.
Yeah, and I will say, guys, that the actual quarterback battle that we should be talking about is not Jaden and Marcus. It's Sam Hartman versus Jeff Driskel for quarterback three. And I think that Jeff Driskel probably has the inside edge right now. He's taking the third team reps. But Sam Hartman has a lot of fans. I mean, there was like a bunch of like, I don't know, high school age boys out there yesterday who were yelling like, Sam Hartman, we love you. Sam Hartman, we love your hair. What's your hair care routine? He's definitely a darling of camp so far, for sure.
Joined by Sam Fortier, Commanders reporter for the Washington Post, at Sam4TR on Twitter. You tweeted this yesterday. Kicking situation is a growing concern in Commanders camp. Ramiz Ahmed with his second right goal post doink and in as many days. And look, this is the Brandon McManus thing blowing up in their face. The plan was not to have a UFL kicker come in and kick for them. They spent decent money on McManus, obviously had to let him go out in the wake of the sexual assault allegations. Talk about the concern level right now with the kicking game.
I mean, yeah, if they had a regular season game tomorrow, I don't think you'd be very confident, particularly, you know, for any kick further than 50 yards. I mean, he has not made very many, if any of those, so far in camp. And obviously, you know, been doinking 2 days in a row. That's not great. So I would say, look, but there's not a lot of like great options out there. Most teams have two. A lot of teams have two kickers. One team has three, I believe. And so it's. I'm sure they're monitoring those competitions to figure out, okay, who's going to be our next best option. But right now, like on the street, there's not a whole lot better. There's not a whole lot of better options than what you got right now.
So on that same note, Dustin Hopkins, who was thrown overboard 6 games into the 2021 campaign by Ron, since he's left the Commanders, he's gone 60-for-66 on his field goal attempts with both the Chargers and the Browns. He inks a long-term extension. So just another in a long line of Ron Rivera personnel gaffes. Dustin Hopkins clearly blooming late in his career. I believe he's 33 now. He wasn't kicking at this level with the Commanders, but he's done well since he's left.
Yeah, and I would say it's kind of a stark contrast, right, to like how they handled the Cameron Cheeseman situation last year, where he was, you know, having trouble with the long snapping. They stuck by him for a really, like, longer than Cheeseman even expected, saying that, you know, he thought he would be cut a lot earlier. So it is certainly the special teams unit, like other units on the field, still trying to recover from that era.
So what do we expect today? They're going full pads today, correct? What do we expect?
Yeah, I think you're going to see physicality in the trenches. I mean, really, like, you haven't been able to evaluate the offensive line at all this year, because in the spring it's more of a passing camp. You know, it's really hard to, like, get a read on those guys. But I think today, I'm very curious to see, is Brandon Coleman the starting left tackle? Is Cornelius Lucas the starting left tackle? Is Andrew Wiley back in drills like he said he expected to be yesterday? So I think it's time to figure out, like, hey, what do we got in the trenches right now?
Is the offensive line the area of biggest concern? I know we're talking about different areas of concern, but is it the biggest concern for fans, you think, going in?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, because the team hasn't dedicated a lot of money or a lot of draft capital to it. I think the interior of the line is going to be all right. Allegretti, Biotis, and Cosme, I think, are a solid trio. But if you're looking at the tackle position, there's a lot of question marks there. And I think the fans should be justifiably concerned, especially when you have a thin mobile quarterback.
I guess, Sam, you'll be able to figure out more stuff at, you know, when they're going full pads in terms of the defensive performance. But Jamin Davis so far, what have you seen from Jamin? Do you think that his roster spot is in jeopardy? Or do you think that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt really want to use him in a kind of a Micah Parsons way? And do you think he's pretty safe as an edge rusher, you know, maybe as a backup, but somewhere in that rotation?
I think the Micah Parsons comparisons are probably a little lofty.
Yeah.
And I would say I wouldn't be shocked if he were cut, but I also don't think it's like the likeliest outcome right now, just because I think they want to try him out in different positions. But, I mean, the dude is just – I think he's like 235, 240. Like he's a little light to be playing edge rusher. Like, I saw him in a one-on-one rep. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was Friday. But he tried to run through Brandon Coleman, a rookie, and Brandon Coleman had zero problem just, like, shoving Jamin aside. And right. So, you know, he has had some good reps in camp for sure when they've moved him around a little bit. But, like – If you're a guy whose hallmark is supposed to be athleticism, outside linebacker, see ball, get ball, it's not a vote of confidence to be trying something new that your body doesn't seem to be suited for. And so I think that he's definitely on the bubble, but just, you know, because of who he is, I imagine he's safer than not, but I wouldn't be shocked if he got cut.
Sam, fill in the blank here. Most likely player on the Commanders with 10-plus sacks is?
Dorrance Armstrong. I think, you know, he's an ascending player. They gave him the money. He can do a bunch of different things. You know, he can do different things on the line. I think that if you're going to bet on one guy, edge rusher. My mind was just on edge rusher. I still think I'd pick Dorrance Armstrong above one of the interior guys, even though those are your studs. But yeah, I would probably say Dorrance Armstrong, even though I'm not giving you a strong take right now.
All right. So out of the other rookies besides Jaden, you know, McCaffrey, you talked about Brandon Coleman a little bit, Sinnott at tight end on the defensive side, Sanra Still, Johnny Newton, anybody kind of jump out at you so far through 5 days?
Sanra Still is like basically the starting nickel. So I think that he's probably going to have one of the largest roles on the team. McCaffrey, I think, is going to be, you know, one of their three receiver locks for this roster. So he should have a role. Sinnott will probably, you know, split with Zach Ertz. So I'd say Sanra Still, if he's the day one starting nickel, which I think he is, then, I mean, he's going to have, you know, the biggest role. And I think he's popped so far. His quickness and the ball skills, I think, are legit. You know, the former receiver, he's someone that the Commanders love, and just a type of DB that they really appreciate, even though he's not as big as they probably would like. But I see him having a strong impact. But then again, guys, like, let's go back to last year when Emmanuel Forbes was killing it in camp, and then you come out during the regular season, and that's not how it goes. So I'm pretty skeptical of even my own observations from the first 5 days.
Who right now are the ones at corner? Is it St. Juste and Forbes, or is Michael Davis getting some ones at corner?
They've done a lot of rotating, but it, right now, if you were like, who are the ones based on that, it would be St. Juice and Forbes.
Okay. All right. And Forbes looks good because he gained some weight?
So, I mean, I'm skeptical that he put on as much weight as he and Dan Quinn say. And even if he did put on that weight,
right,
like, okay, what's the number now? Because he was 166 at the combine. He was 173 on the roster last year. They got him listed at 180 on the website. So what is the 15, 17 pounds up from? Is it up from 166? Because maybe I could believe that. But there's no way he's 185, 190, something like that. Unless he steps on a scale in public, I would have a hard time believing that.
Got you.
All right, Sam. Good stuff. We'll talk to you soon.
Have fun today.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yep.
Appreciate
Sam, 48 from the Washington Post, filling us in on Washington Commanders training camp. Next, we'll switch gears, open up the entertainment page here on the Junkies. Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. Later in the program, 9:45, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to go see HF Festival at Nationals Park.
Mm.
That includes bands such as Incubus, Bush, Garbage, Jimmy Eat World, and more. So that's coming up at 9:45, but we wanted to talk some Commanders training camp. They're 4 days in, right? 4 days in. Today would be day five.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Sam Fortier covers the Commanders for the Washington Post, and he joins us now. What's up, Sam?
Doing well. Headed out to Ashburn right now. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Ashburn was buzzing yesterday, right, when they let the fans in?
I couldn't believe the line going from the gate all the way out to Loudoun County Parkway, Sam.
Yeah, it was pretty unbelievable, guys. It was a lot smaller than last year just because of the way that, you know, the camp is set up this year. They had like 10,000 last year. They had nearly 3,000 yesterday, but it still was a pretty impressive crowd, and obviously a sign that, you know, Jaden Daniels went down almost the entire line of fans to sign autographs, and there were a lot of Daniels jerseys out there. So definitely, you know, that optimism and buzz is definitely happening around camp.
Hmm. We were having a discussion earlier that if you just kind of monitor social media, everything is rosy with Jaden Daniels. Is there anything negative that you're seeing? Because it all seems positive. You see perfect throws into the net. You see, you know, bombs.
Yeah, is he making
mistakes?
It's
like he's perfect.
He's a rookie quarterback. Is he making rookie mistakes?
I will say, guys, he is really impressive for a rookie quarterback. I mean, he's making not just like with the athleticism or the throws, which you can't entirely see because pads aren't coming on until today, but he's changing protections. He's like sliding the line to pick up, you know, like when the nickel corner blitzes. He's doing impressive things like that. But I will say that some of the videos, I think, on Twitter are a little bit overplayed. Like, you know, like these aggregator accounts are throwing up, you know, he hits the net one time and it's like, you know, dart emoji, dart emoji, dart emoji. And if you go out there, like, he's hitting the net one of four times, you know, just about the same rate, if not a little better than his teammates or, you know, all three other quarterbacks, but it's not like he's hitting the net every single time, which I think that if you were just looking at Twitter, you might think that's true.
What about the breakdown of reps right now between Jaden Daniels and Marcus Mariota? I'm a little concerned over the amount of reps that Mariota's getting, personally.
Wait, you're worried about how impressive Mariota looks?
No, I'm worried about the number of reps.
No, because we
Cakes doesn't want him to touch the ball.
Because he
heard
look impressive.
We heard that Mariota was running with the ones more than JD.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. It's split pretty evenly right now, but Mariota is definitely getting reps with the ones and, you know, in 2-minute drill, things like that, you know, 11-on-11. So, I mean, certainly, how do I say this, an approach that Dan Quinn's staff is taking. They don't think that splitting the reps is going to be hurtful to Jaden's development. Terry McLaurin and right tackle Andrew Wiley both told me that they don't think it'll be that bad for him either. But obviously, you know, the question, guys, is how long does this persist? Are we talking about, is this going to be through joint practice? Is it going to be through the first preseason game? I would imagine not, because you want Jaden to get every first team rep that you can, because it's obvious he's going to be the starter. It's not even just like, oh, we picked this kid number two. He's just clearly the better quarterback out there right now. And so I'm very curious to see how long they're going to split these reps as well.
Sam, I think the only real glaring mistake I've seen Jaden make on a daily basis is he's walking out to the practice field with that dreamboat Sam Hartman every day with his with his flowing long hair, and he's just getting handsome shamed by Sam Hartman every day. That's the only real mistake that I can tell Jaden's making.
Yeah, and I will say, guys, that the actual quarterback battle that we should be talking about is not Jaden and Marcus. It's Sam Hartman versus Jeff Driskel for quarterback three. And I think that Jeff Driskel probably has the inside edge right now. He's taking the third team reps. But Sam Hartman has a lot of fans. I mean, there was like a bunch of like, I don't know, high school age boys out there yesterday who were yelling like, Sam Hartman, we love you. Sam Hartman, we love your hair. What's your hair care routine? He's definitely a darling of camp so far, for sure.
Joined by Sam Fortier, Commanders reporter for the Washington Post, at Sam4TR on Twitter. You tweeted this yesterday. Kicking situation is a growing concern in Commanders camp. Ramiz Ahmed with his second right goal post doink and in as many days. And look, this is the Brandon McManus thing blowing up in their face. The plan was not to have a UFL kicker come in and kick for them. They spent decent money on McManus, obviously had to let him go out in the wake of the sexual assault allegations. Talk about the concern level right now with the kicking game.
I mean, yeah, if they had a regular season game tomorrow, I don't think you'd be very confident, particularly, you know, for any kick further than 50 yards. I mean, he has not made very many, if any of those, so far in camp. And obviously, you know, been doinking 2 days in a row. That's not great. So I would say, look, but there's not a lot of, like, great options out there. Most teams have two kickers. One team has three, I believe. And so I'm sure they're monitoring those competitions to figure out, okay, who's going to be our next best option. But right now, like on the street, there's not a whole lot better options than what you got right now.
So on that same note, Dustin Hopkins, who was thrown overboard 6 games into the 2021 campaign by Ron, since he's left the Commanders, he's gone 60 for 66 on his field goal attempts with both the Chargers and the Browns. He inks a long-term extension. So just another in a long line of Ron Rivera personnel gaffes. Dustin Hopkins clearly blooming late in his career. I believe he's 33 now. He wasn't kicking at this level with the Commanders, but he's done well since he's left.
Yeah, and I would say it's kind of a stark contrast, right, to like how they handled the Cameron Cheeseman situation last year, where he was, you know, having trouble with the long snapping. They stuck by him for a really, like, longer than Cheeseman even expected, saying that, you know, he thought he would be cut a lot earlier. So it is certainly the special teams unit, like other units on the field, still trying to recover from that era.
So what do we expect today? They're going full pads today, correct? What do we expect?
Yeah, I think you're going to see physicality in the trenches. I mean, really, like, you haven't been able to evaluate the offensive line at all this year, because in the spring it's more of a passing camp. You know, it's really hard to, like, get a read on those guys. But I think today, I'm very curious to see, is Brandon Coleman the starting left tackle? Is Cornelius Lucas the starting left tackle? Is Andrew Wiley back in drills like he said he expected to be yesterday? So I think it's time to figure out, like, hey, what do we got in the trenches right now?
Is the offensive line the area of biggest concern? I know we're talking about different areas of concern, but is it the biggest concern for fans, you think, going in?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, because the team hasn't dedicated a lot of money or a lot of draft capital to it. I think the interior of the line is going to be all right. Allegretti, Biotish, and Cosme, I think, are a solid trio. But if you're looking at the tackle position, there's a lot of question marks there. And I think the fans should be justifiably concerned, especially when you have a thin mobile quarterback.
I guess, Sam, you'll be able to figure out more stuff at, you know, when they're going full pads in terms of the defensive performance. But Jamin Davis so far, what have you seen from Jamin? Do you think that his roster spot is in jeopardy? Or do you think that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt really want to use him in a kind of a Micah Parsons way? And do you think he's pretty safe as an edge rusher, you know, maybe as a backup, but somewhere in that rotation?
I think the Micah Parsons comparisons are probably a little lofty.
Yeah.
And I would say that I wouldn't be shocked if he were cut, but I also don't think it's like the likeliest outcome right now, just because I think they want to try him out at different positions. But I mean, the dude is just, I think he's like 235, 240. Like he's a little light to be playing edge rusher. Like I saw him in a one-on-one rep. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was Friday. But he tried to run through Brandon Coleman, a rookie, and Brandon Coleman had zero problem just like shoving Jamin aside. And right. So, you know, he has had some good reps in camp for sure. When they've moved him around a little bit, but like if you're a guy whose hallmark is supposed to be athleticism, outside linebacker, see ball, get ball, it's not a vote of confidence to be trying something new that your body doesn't seem to be suited for. And so I think that he's definitely on the bubble, but just, you know, because of who he is, I imagine he's safer than not, but I wouldn't be shocked if he got cut.
Sam, fill in the blank here. Most likely player on the Commanders with 10-plus sacks is?
Dorrance Armstrong. I think, you know, he's an ascending player. They gave him the money. He can do a bunch of different things. You know, he can do different things on the line. I think that if you're going to bet on one guy, edge rusher. My mind was just on edge rusher. I still think I'd pick Dorrance Armstrong above one of the interior guys, even though those are your studs. But yeah, I would probably say Dorrance Armstrong, even though I'm not giving you a strong take right now.
All right. So out of the other rookies besides Jaden, you know, McCaffrey, you talked about Brandon Coleman a little bit, Sinnott at tight end on the defensive side, Sanra Still, Johnny Newton, anybody kind of jump out at you so far through 5 days?
Sanra Still is like basically the starting nickel. So I think that he's probably going to have one of the largest roles on the team. McCaffrey, I think, is going to be, you know, one of their three receiver locks for this roster. So he should have a role. Sinnott will probably, you know, split with Zach Ertz. So I'd say Sanra Still, if he's the day one starting nickel, which I think he is, then, I mean, he's going to have, you know, the biggest role. And I think he's popped so far. His quickness and the ball skills, I think, are legit. You know, the former receiver, he's someone that the Commanders love and just a type of DB that they really appreciate, even though he's not as big as they probably would like. But I see him having a strong impact. But then again, guys, like, let's go back to last year when Emmanuel Forbes was killing it in camp. And then you come out during the regular season, and that's not how it goes. So I'm pretty skeptical of even my own observations from the first 5 days.
Who right now are the ones at corner? Is it St. Juste and Forbes, or is Michael Davis getting some ones at corner?
They've done a lot of rotating, but right now, if you were like, who are the ones based on that, it would be St. Juste and Forbes.
Okay, all right. And Forbes looks good because he gained some weight?
So, I mean, I'm skeptical that he put on as much weight as he and Dan Quinn say. And even if he did put on that weight,
right,
like, okay, what's the number now? Because he was 166 at the combine. He was 173 on the roster last year. They got him listed at 180 on the website. So what is the 15, 17 pounds up from? Is it up from 166? Because maybe I could believe that. But there's no way he's 185, 190, something like that. Unless he steps on a scale in public, I would have a hard time believing that.
Got you.
All right, Sam. Good stuff. We'll talk to you soon.
Have fun today.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yep.
Appreciate
Sam,
it.
Sam, 48 from the Washington Post, filling us in on Washington Commanders training camp. Next, we'll switch gears, open up the entertainment page here on the Junkies.